And I thought, this is great. So it's sun shining and people come out too. This is great. Praise God for that. Well, I'm glad that you're here. And I want to start with a little story here this morning. Many years ago, there was a king. And he wasn't just any king. He was a king that really cared for his people. And he took care of his country very, very well. He ruled in great compassion and concern. But he ruled alone, see, because he didn't have a spouse. And his advisors would try very hard to bring the right girl into his presence. And they brought a number of different ladies, but they never really were the right fit for him. And so he continued to rule alone. One day, the king, and a little bit distraught, he goes out into into one of the villages, and he goes out incognito. He goes up dressed as a regular citizen. And as he walks around, he notices a lady within town. But this lady was obnoxious. She was loud. She was mocking the king over and over and over again. And he stood and he watched this, and something about her drew his heart. He got his advisors to go and to try to connect with her and to talk with her and find out why she's so angry against the king. And they talked and they tried to encourage her and say, you know, the king's not a bad guy. He's actually a really good guy. But she was a piece of work. Well, the king didn't stop pursuing her. And he pursued her and pursued her until he finally won her over. Now, you're sitting and thinking, what kind of fairy tale are you telling me? It sounds like a fairy tale, and certainly it's something that your wife would probably want you to watch when you want to watch Fast and Furious 12 or whatever it is right now. But though it's just a little story, it's a picture of a king who pursued his people, even though they really didn't want much to do with him because of what was going on in their lives that separated them from this king. And I want us to take a look in our Bibles, and hopefully you have your Bible with you here today. And I want to look at a portion found in the book of Romans. Romans is in the New Testament. It comes after the first four books, and then there's Acts, and then there is Romans. So Romans chapter 5, and I want to look at verse, wow, where's my glasses? I want to look at verse, this is why I get people to read for me, by the way, verse 5 to verse 8. It says this, "Hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So God, thank you for your word here this morning. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you, God, that you have shown us how much you care, and that you are here today to show that to us as well. And I pray, speak to your people here this morning, and Lord, be glorified in all that is said and done in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you about the love of a king, but not just any king, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I want to talk, first of all, about the hope, the love that was promised, and that was seen through the hope that he's given us. It says here, hope does not disappoint us. Now, when we think about hope, if you're a child or you were a child, has anybody here not been a child at one time in their life? We were all children. You remember just before Christmas, we're talking weeks before Christmas, you would go to your mom or to your dad and you would say, I really want, for me, it was G.I. Joe. Come on, you know what I'm talking about, right? You want a G.I. Joe doll. We actually played with dolls back then. It was okay, even as guys. And so I wanted a G.I. Joe, right? So what you did is you put in little hands. You go into the store, and you would say to your mother, hey, look, aren't those cool? They would look really good in my room. You put these hints in, right? And if they didn't get it, then you would maybe leave little notes, or you would do whatever you could to make sure they knew what you wanted for Christmas. You're right, right? So then Christmas comes, right? And the presents are under the tree, and it's your turn to open up the presents, right? And you can't wait because you're gonna unwrap your G.I. Joe doll. Woohoo! It's not a doll. G.I. Joe man, action man, okay? You're gonna unwrap your G.I. Joe action figure. And so you open it up, and you open the box, and in there, there's a pair of socks. You ever been there? Okay. But it's hoping to get what you want, and hopefully that is fulfilled. Well, hope is more than that when the Bible talks about hope. When the Bible talks about hope, it's not wishful thinking. Maybe I'll get what I want, but it is the assurance. It is the reality that God will come through for us. It was the reality that when Adam and Eve at the very beginning, when they messed up, when they sinned against God, and when they ate of that fruit and they had to be sent out of the garden, it was the reality that one day they would return and the serpent, the snake that deceived them would be destroyed. It was the reality that the children of Israel, the Israelites, when they were in bondage for over 400 years and they're going, we want so badly to get out. The reality when God says, you will enter the promised land, knowing that that would happen. It's the reality, folks, that Jesus, in his love and compassion and in his mercy, he said to us that if we come to him, that all who are weary would come to him, he would take the heavy burden from us and he would give us true rest. That hope is a true reality. But see, here's the thing. Hope is only as good as the source that you're putting your hope into. Isn't that true? You can hope for a lot of stuff. You can hope for at Christmas time, your parents gonna buy you a brand new Ferrari. And I'm thinking there's not too many parents in this place that could do that. You can hope all you want, but the reality is, what can that source provide for you? See, you can come in this church here today and you can say, I hope that tomorrow will be a better day. I hope tomorrow I won't have to go through the challenges and the pain that I'm going through. I hope tomorrow my relationships will be restored. And you can wake up the next day, and if you just hope haphazardly, chances are that things will be the same. But if you can put your trust in the one who can bring about those strengths in those relationships, that can bring about the healing that is necessary. If you can put your trust and your faith in that one who is God, the eternal creator of all, that is hope. And that's hope revealed. And that's what the hope that the Bible talks about here in Romans. So God's made a promise to you. He's promised us that if we trust, he will come through for us. I'm wondering, where do we put our hope in? Even at, for us that have been maybe believers for a long time, what are we putting our trust and our faith in? Do we put our trust and faith in the living God, or do we put it in other things? We need to trust him. Love, his love is promised. Secondly, his love is compared. It says in verse 7 here, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. Back in 1993, there was a singer by the name of Jim Steinman who wrote the song, I will do anything for love. Does anybody remember that song? I am not going to sing it because I don't want to sing it. I've been told that anyways, I will do anything for love, but I won't do that. Remember the song? Yeah. I often wonder, what is the that he's singing about? Like, you listen to the song and you wonder, but isn't it interesting what people will do for love? People will quit their jobs. They'll move to another city. They will change their clothes. for their spouse because their spouse doesn't like what they're wearing. They will change their socks more than once a day. I'm thinking, if the socks are clean and they don't smell so bad, you can wear them a second day, right? But my wife doesn't think so. So we do all sorts of things for love. But what this is talking about goes way beyond that. See, I've heard people say, I would take a bullet for you. But I'm wondering when things don't go in our way, we aren't loved the way we would like to, where does love stop? How deep does our love go? See, because folks, doing anything for love means that we love even when it doesn't come back to us in return. And that's what the scripture is talking about here. His love for us. It says, very rarely will someone die for a righteous man. But see, Jesus, he didn't just die for those that were close to him and that loved back. He died for all. And I'll talk about that in just a second. God's love goes way beyond our superficial type of, depending on the situation, love. God's love goes deeper. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18. I love this. It says, may you have the power to understand that all God's people, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep God's love is. If we can only fathom the extent of God's love for us. It goes way deeper than the superficial type of love that we sometimes have for each other. See, God's love, you can't compare it to any other love out there. You may love each other in a great way, and that's good, but God's love goes very, very much deeper. See, if I were to walk up to someone and I were to say, good to see you, Brian, and I slap him across the face. Now, chances are Brian will be shocked, but he'll say he's had a moment of craziness. I'll forgive him. If I did it again and again and again, at some point in time, Brian's going to get tired of that, okay? And he's probably going to retaliate. Now, I'm not going to do that to you, Brian. I would never do that to you because I value you very, very much. But what sin is, folks, and I want you to get this. Sin is a slap in God's face. Sin, when we do things that dishonor God, and when we do things that are wrong according to the Bible, it is slapping God in the face and saying, you know what, God, I don't need you, or I want to do things my way. And yet, God, in his kindness, even though we sinned against him, still loves us. That one I don't understand. That one I don't understand. And I'll talk a little bit about that in just a second as far as what God's view is of sin. But I want you to understand God's love for you. I'm wondering if you're living in that. Are you daily saying, God, I thank you for your love. I thank you for what you've shown me. I thank you for what you've given me. How you've shown your love, especially upon the cross. How Jesus took everything for me. I thank you. Do we truly live in the love of God and appreciate what he's done for us? I'm thankful for God's incredible love. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though a good man, someone will possibly dare to die. That's how far God went for us. He died not because we were good, but he died because he loves us. And his love was displayed, it says, in this verse. And I love this, and I really want to focus on this as we bring this to a close. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. How did God show us that love? Even when our sin slapped him across the face, even when we did things that were contrary to what God wanted from us, God demonstrated his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, while we were still enemies, it tells us later in verse 10, while we were separated from God, Christ died for us. And I really want you to get this here this morning, folks. I want you to understand how deep the love of God is for you and for me. That God showed us the extent of the greatest extent of love when we least, very least deserved it. See, here's the thing. We oftentimes look at ourselves and go, I'm better than the next guy. I don't do the things the other guy does. I don't have the same sin in my life as the other person does. I'm pretty good. I have a glass of water here. And I'm wondering, I have with me this morning a bag. I cleaned out my cat litter box. And so I brought some of the stuff from the cat litter box here this morning. And I'm just going to put a bit of that in my cup of water here this morning. Just whoo! Who wants a drink? It's just a little bit. It's not that much. Come on. What's it going to hurt? You can barely see it in there. Now, I'm thinking this is probably not going to kill you, but it'll probably make you sick if you drank this again and again. See, a little bit of sin may not kill you, but it'll make you sick. A little bit of sin may not even be noticed. You can't really see anything in there, can you? Well, the little spot in the bottom. But you can't really see much in there, but you're not going to drink it. See, here's my point, folks. It's the little things in our life that we think, that's not such a bad thing. And when God prompts at your heart and says, well, wait a minute. You don't want to do that because it will slowly make you sick spiritually and it will slowly destroy you. Sin is got to be dealt with in a very, very real way. And see, you can't deal with sin yourself. It's not like you can do enough to get rid of sin. You can't try to dig it out and try to make it better because you're just going to mess things up. It's only God that is able to get rid of sin. It's only God that can reach into your life and pull it out and put a fresh new life inside of you. Well, how does he do that? How does he do that? Anybody want to shake my hands now? Well, God did that by sending Jesus. It says, God demonstrate his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, when we had this mess in our life, Christ went to the cross and he says, you know what? I'm going to take their mess upon myself. There has to be a punishment for sin. There has to be some punishment so that the sin could be dealt with there, and that there could be a relationship with God once again. And that punishment Jesus took upon himself. I read a really good illustration that kind of showed this in a practical way for us to understand. There is a man that used to work for the Billy Graham School of Evangelism or Billy Graham Association by the name of Cliff Barrows. You may know of him. Cliff Barrows had a couple of kids. And I know your kids are perfect in every way, but his kids weren't, okay? And he had some issues that he was dealing with his kids. And they just kept doing the same thing over and over and over again. Parents, can you relate? Of course, none of you can. Your kids never do the same mistakes over and over again. But his kids did. And he tried. He did the discipline thing. He did everything he could, and he still wouldn't get it. So one day he decided he's going to do something very different. They messed up again. He called them into his bedroom. Then Cliff pulled out his belt. He took off his shirt. He kneeled down at his bedside, and he said to both of his kids, he says, I want you to hit me with the belt. They says, Daddy, no, we can't do that. He says, you did something wrong. There has to be a consequence. I want you to hit me. And they said, Daddy, no, Daddy, don't make us do that. But he asked them to do it, and they did. And they were crying and crying and crying and says, Daddy, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. We won't do that again. And he gave him a big hug and he said, I love you guys, but I want you to understand the severity of doing things wrong. And see, that's what Jesus did for you. I don't want you to underestimate the severity of sin. It cost Jesus a lot. He knelt down and he took the punishment for us because he knew this sin thing had to be dealt with. And we couldn't pull it out. It had to be Jesus to pull that sin out of our lives. So folks, I want you to understand God's love for you. You can't deal with the sin, only God can. And if you are here this morning and there are issues in your life that you know that has to be dealt with, can I encourage you as I close here this morning to examine your life, to examine your heart, and to ask God, God, show me, are there things I need to make right in my life? And if there are, and I'm going to call Pastor James up, and I'm going to call the team up, and at this time as we close together here. If there are areas in your life that you need to make right with Jesus, I'm going to ask you to do that today. And the way I'm going to ask you to do that is we're going to bow our heads and pray. And if you're here today and you say, you know, Wes, I know there's junk there that it's been plaguing me, and I just want to let it go. I want to ask God to take that stuff out of my life, to give me a clean heart, to make me fresh in Him, new in Him. And I want to live a pure life from here on in. That's you in just a minute. I want to pray for you. But please bow your heads at this time. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that we would understand the love of a King. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who gave up everything, even his own life, so that we could have a relationship with you once again. Thank you for Jesus. And Lord, I pray right now if there's someone here that hasn't made a commitment to you, to fully follow you, that right now, God, that you would speak to them and that they would understand the importance of surrendering to you. And if you're here today and you're saying, I do need to make it right, I do need to surrender to God, and there are things in my life I need to make right, can I ask you just to put up your hand? I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I've got some material I'd like to give you at another time or later on. But if you are here and you're saying, I need to make it right with God, can I ask you just to put up your hand? Praise God. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Thank you. Put your hand down. Thank you, Jesus. And I want to encourage you, for those that put up your hands and for others that are here, is the important thing, next step is, first of all, get into God, get into the Bible, get into reading. I would recommend the book of James, and I want to help with that. But I just want to pray a prayer for you, and I'm asking you to pray with me. Maybe everybody could pray with me. And if I can be a further help, I will be here after we're finished here, and I would love to talk with you further. So if we could just pray together. Dear Jesus, I thank you for loving me. I thank you for giving me a future. Lord, thank you for going to the cross, for taking my sin upon the cross, and for giving me a new life. I now ask you for forgiveness from all the things I've done wrong. I commit my heart, my life, help me to live for you. Help me to stand for what is true. Help me not to be led astray, but to serve you faithfully. every single day of my life. I commit myself to you now in your name. Amen. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer, praise God. If I can be of any further help, I'm here to help.